Steuerung alt entfernen, der Tech-Podcast des Bitkom.
Hallo und herzlich willkommen zu Steuerung alt entfernen. Mein Name ist Christoph Größmann und heute geht es um Europa. Kurz vor der Wahl zum Europäischen Parlament haben uns Spitzenkandidaten der großen Parteien in Deutschland ihre politische Agenda für die EU vorgestellt. Dafür haben sie auf dem Business Festival Hub Berlin ihre Schwerpunkte in kompakten 4 Minuten vor einer Jury gepitcht, beim EU Policy Pitch. Den Anfang macht Patrick Breyer von der Piratenpartei. Viel Spaß!
Ladies and gentlemen, I've been invited to set out my policy priorities. So the first thing I thought was, let's ditch the slides and focus on writing a good speech. And the top policy priority really for the EU should be defending human rights in the digital era. That means our right to privacy, because it is intended to protect the powerless from abuses by the powerful. In a free world, we cannot tolerate mass surveillance or bulk data collection, for example, in the context of the upcoming e-privacy regulation. We need to eradicate blanket data retention laws, and everybody should have a right to browse anonymously and without every action being tracked the web. Our freedom of speech is at risk where algorithms designed by private corporations filter what we can upload, where operators, including non-commercial operators and small businesses, are required to remove terrorist content within a time frame that is too short for them to handle. And let's secure information technology. Insecure devices increasingly threaten our lives and our property. So we do need a right to have vulnerabilities fixed by manufacturers. We need to have a right to fix devices on our own. And we can't tolerate backdoors, for example, in encryption technology. We need to vitalize competition in the social media and messaging markets, for example, by requiring the near monopolists that are active in these fields to make their services interoperable with their competitors' services. But you know, aside from specific policies, I believe what really needs to be made a priority is to educate EU policymakers on information technology. One of them famously said earlier this year, I may quote, "At Google, there is the page where you can click on memes, a column of its own." Well, you will remember that was Axel Voss, the rapporteur on copyright reform. And you know, where policymakers appear to have no idea of the consequences of their policies and appear to be merely puppets of other actors, democracy risks to lose the trust of an entire generation of digital natives. Therefore, we need to bring in independent experts, for example, scientists, to explain information technology and the consequences of policies. We need regular debates with citizens on contested issues. And we need to deploy tools that allow digital participation in policy making. For example, allowing citizens to publicly comment and discuss legislative proposals. The public also needs to be made aware and mobilized where IT policy is about to change their lives. Uncomfortable truth will certainly need to be disclosed. And all in all, I think we need digital enlightenment, or to put it in other words, reflect first and regulate second. Thank you for your attention.
Das war Patrick Breyer von der Piratenpartei. Weiter geht es mit Reinhard Bütikofer, dem Co-Vorsitzenden der Europäischen Grünen Partei.
Again, good morning everybody and thanks for having me. The industrial pessimists have already passed judgment on Europe's digital ambition, and it's negative. Kai-Fu Lee recently said, the AI guru said in Munich, that the only question that was still open was whether the west wind would beat the east wind or the east wind would beat the west wind, but Europe would not even be on the podium. I happen to disagree with that. I believe that if Europe pools its capacities in one cohesive European industrial policy, we are still able to be competitive. Of course, it makes no sense to try pursuing a strategy that says we want to be leading in every single segment. Rather, we should focus on where our strengths lie. And our strengths in Europe lie in the realm of productive technologies and combining productive technologies and digital technologies. So basically, the combination of 5G and Industry 4.0. I think our strength also lies in combining the digital revolution with the eco-efficiency revolution. Our strength lies in facilitating that small entities, SMEs, can pick up the digital transformation. And I also believe that we should focus very much on facilitating a good environment for creating the needed skills for the digital development. We not just need the skills, we need a political and economic framework for financing the huge societal challenge of allowing people to reskill, to upskill, to relearn, and to remain part of our society as full digital natives. I believe that we should focus on a couple of issues that are particularly pertinent from the perspective of our traditions. Competition policy has to be redefined. Cybersecurity is of core relevancy. That's why I, for instance, am very reluctant to allow companies into the backbone of our digital communication networks that are not trustworthy. I also believe that we should focus a lot on ethics in regard to AI. AI can enhance the productivity of human labor, or it can substitute human labor. And we have to make an educated decision about where we want to have what. I also believe that there are other more philosophical or societal dimensions to how we should deal with digital. For instance, we should focus a lot of our efforts on avoiding digital divides between modernized industrial centers and the back country. Digital innovation facilitates that a catch-up process for regions that have become de-industrialized. When Kai-Fu Lee says that an algorithm written by an average engineer can beat a good expert, that shows the potential of redeveloping industries in other regions.
Danke an Reinhard Bütikofer, den Co-Vorsitzenden der Europäischen Grünen Partei. Jetzt stellt Nicola Bär, die Spitzenkandidatin der FDP, ihre Ideen für Europa vor.
Hello everybody. Do you remember when you used a computer the first time? I mean, for some of you it was an Atari or a Sinclair SX or a Commodore. For the kids today, for the most, it's a tablet. Do you remember when you used a telephone for the first time? Maybe some of you remember the Fisher-Price telephone was one of my preferred toys when I was a kid. But maybe you remember also dial phones, key telephones, or your first mobile phones, bigger than today, but with a battery who lasts another week. The first telephone of kids today is probably a smartphone. Do you remember how you helped your parents to programming the VHS video recorder and then the beginning or the end was cut off? That you registered on a compact cassette or that you had spaghetti of tape with a pencil fixed? So if you don't remember, then you are probably younger than me. But we, like you and me, we use listening and watching streaming services today. So we went almost completely digital, but to complete the finalization of digitalization, to become really 100% digital, we need a paradigm shift. We have to think of all processes fully digital. And I think we have to stop thinking what can be digitized, but to think what cannot be digitized in that moment. And for that, we need a legal framework which focuses on basic principles, which fosters innovation, a regulatory framework which attracts investments and which just creates an environment which gets the best out of people. What are these basic principles for me? It's first, we need a digital economy which can flourish. We need a digitized education system which prepares our children for the future. And we don't have to forget that the future is going to school in this moment. Third, we need an internet which citizens can participate in the democracy decision-making process. We need more women in digital, and we need citizens who self-determine their future. It's not the algorithm which is determining the destiny of people. It's we, it's the people who should have control over their digital ego. These are the basic principles we must actively defend together. And to achieve this, I think we need a real digital market in the European Union with our own commissioner, so to bundle all the competences. We need to increase the Juncker Fund by 100 billion over the next 5 years. We need a risk capital directive, and we need to establish e-governance throughout European Union, in the whole European Union. We need to double the high-tech research budget, and especially freedom of expression, data protection are fundamental for me to everything we do. This also means that we have to protect whistleblowers and fight the idea of unrestricted data retention. And as far as copyright is concerned, we must protect authors, but I think we must not play authors and internet users off against each other at the expense of freedom of expression. We need fully transparency for citizens about tracking and full self-determination about personal data, but nobody can handle the future alone. We need to establish a dialogue between society and technology, and so I just wish me that you please be part of this dialogue and talk to us. Thank you.
Das war Nicola Bär, die Spitzenkandidatin der FDP. Die nächsten 4 Minuten gehören der Gewerkschafterin Gabriele Bischoff, die für die SPD antritt.
Good morning, everybody. In recent months, the debate about the future of Europe and the digital future of Europe has been taken from the institutions also to the streets of Europe. The European Copyright Directive became a hot topic, and essentially it is also a debate about different concepts of digitalization. In our view, it is very essential to develop a European perspective for the digitalization of all. And the European perspective should differ from the perspective and the principles models of digitalization of the US or, for example, from China. While the US economy is governed by a liberal market model with low state regulation, China has a state-led model with communication as the key of the political economy in their Chinese post-2008 development model. In both models, privacy is not protected well enough, nor by the American model and the big American players like Google and Facebook, and not by the development of the social credit system in China. Our European model is still under construction. It's strongly influenced by the US players and also weakened by tax competition. But we have some strong weapons in the EU. We have a good antitrust regulation, and we started to develop policies of data protection. Europe, with its common market with more than 500 million people, it has a chance still to become a leading innovation region of the world if it takes the right steps now, and also if it starts to discuss future issues and not concentrates on Brexit and issues like that. And if we want to become one of the leading innovation regions, we really have to invest more in research and development, and therefore we really have to develop a policy where at least we invest 3% of GDP into research and development. And in today's economy, an increasing share of the value does emanate from the data extracted from human activity. And data acquisition, transformation of data, and usage of the resulting information are key processes of digitalization. And here the SPD is aware of the increasing risk of data monopolies. And therefore, we push for European data pools, for European clouds, and for European platforms. We propose a European data for all policy to disrupt data monopolies. We want open access to data made anonymous, especially also for SMEs and for civil society. And the European Union should help to establish European cloud services for open science, for European R&D, and last but not least, also for the organizations of civil society. Digital capitalism uses the means of platforms quite frequently. European platforms should not excel in low labor standards, exploitation of labor, and the export of profits from the field of operations to islands with a lot of sunshine or to tiny letterboxes. European platforms should be open to the private economy, but be of special interest for the public and the non-profit economy.
Das war die SPD-Kandidatin Gabriele Bischoff. Jetzt hören wir Angelika Niebler, CSU-Kandidatin und Vorsitzende der CSU-Europagruppe im Europäischen Parlament.
Well, good morning to everybody. It's great to be here. Let me submit three messages. My first message as regards the digital world and the digital policy in the European next European Parliament is cybersecurity needs to be on top of our agenda. Everything is connected, everyone is with everyone connected. We have smart grids, smart homes, smart houses, some smart fridges, some smart watches. And for that, I think cybersecurity has really to be on top of our political agenda. As you mentioned, Benjamin, we passed legislation on that. We have a strategy in Europe on cybersecurity. We concentrated on critical infrastructure at the beginning. Then we passed the Cybersecurity Act. And right now we are trying to help the whole ecosystem to become more cybersecured by connecting and trying to develop competence centers in all 28, or maybe in all likelihood in a couple of months, 27 member states. That's my first message. My second message is, I think, as regards digital issues, we have to think globally and to act on the European scale. And that is something I really think is very important. Reinhard Bütikofer actually mentioned that as well. Competition all over in the world is tough. I think our big competitors, they are in the US, They are in China, they are in Singapore, they are in Israel, they are in India, everywhere. And I think for us in the European Union, it's crucial, you know, that we play our role. It was mentioned before. And I think we have to reassess, actually, also in the next couple of months and years, what can be done in order to foster competition in the European Union, but also allowing our companies, as Hildegard Bentele mentioned, from the startups to the big corporations, how can we help our European companies and our people to be competitive in this globalized world? And for that, we have to reassess our competition rules. And for that, I think it's important also to go for setting the international standards on standardization, for instance. We did that with the data protection, general data protection regulation, GDPR. I think we have a chance to do that now with the Cybersecurity Act. And I think as regards norming standard settings, this is what we are very good in Europe. And maybe we have a chance that our European standards are going to be also the pilot for on the international level. Third message I'd like to deliver, I have another 1 minute 30, okay. Third message I'd like to deliver is that I think we have to invest in people, we have to invest in innovation, in research, we have to invest in technological breakthroughs. We've done a lot during the last years, Reinhard mentioned it, we passed, next week, the Horizon Europe program, 120 billions. We'd like to invest in research, in innovation. We'd like to facilitate getting access to these funds on the European Union level. So I think that's important. And allowing that not only the big ones, you have their legal departments to work on getting the money, are going to be the beneficiaries. We have to ensure that also the startups gets the money, and in particular our startups, when they like to get the European rollout or an international rollout, meaning that they are scaling up. For that, I think we also need to be much more flexible in our rules. So that's what we have to head on. That's what we have to implement. And of course, we have invested. We have a new program for startups and companies to do this rollout. That is the Invest EU Fund. More than 370 billion euro have been collected all over the world to help also our companies increase.
Das war die CSU-Kandidatin Angelika Niebler. Den Abschluss macht jetzt Hildegard Bentele, Spitzenkandidatin der CDU Berlin für das EU-Parlament.
Ja, being currently a member in the Berlin State Parliament and hopefully the Christian Democrat voice of Berlin in the future European Parliament, I would like to focus my pitch on startups. Since startups have grown to an important factor in the Berlin economy, making it even the startup capital of Germany and providing work to 100,000 people over the last 10 years. In our election program, we also emphasize the innovative power of startups, having in mind that many of the nowadays global digital players started as small startups. We have not lost the hope to see one day emerge also European digital big players. To achieve these goals, we have to improve the conditions for startups on the national and on the European level. First, we need to address the issue of venture capital, since Europe is falling largely behind its competitors from China and the US. In this regard, the European Commission could play a role in giving incentives to institutional investors to invest in young, fast-growing companies and venture capital funds. In addition, financial support should not only be given to the founding phase, but also in the scaling phase. It happens too often that young startups, after a promising start, are being bought by non-European competitors, which hinders our goal to build up a real healthy backbone of small and middle-sized European digital players. In Berlin, it happens also too often that startups have problems to get access to public procurement. This might be partly due to the specific character of the Berlin administration, but there are also hurdles from an objective point of view the EU could eliminate. The EU should move from elimination of risks to reasonable risk management as a standard for public procurement. characteristics such as longevity of a company, high turnover and large numbers of employees should no longer be the primary criteria for suitability. Rather, the assessment should focus on the suitability of the proposed solution itself. Third, the EU should also work on easing administrative hurdles. An EU-wide limited liability company could significantly decrease bureaucratic obstacles for startups. Furthermore, administrative one-stop agencies should become the standard offer for startups. Ideally, administration is fully digitized, following the example of frontrunners like Estonia. Startups also largely depend on workforce from abroad. That's why the idea of issuing startup visa should seriously be discussed. Fourth, the EU should dedicate funding in its budget for the creation and support of local startup ecosystems, potentially building on existing digital innovation hubs and on cooperations with research institutions. Finally, in the European Parliament, we should give startups permanent interlocutors by founding an interparliamentary group for startups.
Das war der EU Policy Pitch auf der Hub Berlin. Alle Infos dazu gibt es auch noch einmal in unseren Shownotes und auf www.bitkom.org/podcast. Danke euch fürs Zuhören und bis zum nächsten Mal.
Das war Steuerung Alt Entfernen, der Tech-Podcast des Bitkom. Weitere Folgen findet ihr auf www.bitkom.org/podcast.